This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way. Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 170 for the week ending Saturday, April 27th, 2013. Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Catholic Weekend. I'm Captain Jeff in Roswell, Georgia, and also with me today, the ever-popular Maria Johnson.
It's such a pleasure to not be muted this week. Thank you.
As always. And also from Washington, D.C., our super Catholic, William Newton. We call him Billy.
Yeah, you can call me Billy. That's fine. Morning, everyone.
All right. Kind of loud on the theme song there. Sorry about that. And as the fanfare fades out, we bring in some music from the heart of Texas. And we have the lovely Angela Ciolana.
Howdy, howdy.
Hello.
Viva Fiesta.
We missed you. Okay, and let's turn that off and go with our special guest today. Love this music here. We have the anchoress, Elizabeth Scalia. Good morning.
Yay. Yay! Applause.
Loving that music. I want to take a sword out, you know? First, I have to look like Lucy Liu.
You don't want to wear a yellow tracksuit like Uma Thurman?
No, no, I want to be Lucy Liu. I'll get the top of my head. I want to look like her. You know, I want to have the crazy 88s all around me battling.
That's right.
Me, you know.
That's right.
Well,
sweet.
I'm sure that
I
most of you
stand on a table and slice somebody's head off. That's what I mean.
Oh my, this is going to be a fun show. I can already tell. Hey, for those of you who
are epic words for an editor. I'm just saying.
For those of you who don't know who Elizabeth is and why wouldn't you? She is a very prolific writer, blog poster, and a recent author. Your book has it already been released?
It actually is released as of yesterday, I think.
Wow.
It was supposed to be released on May 6th, but it is out a week early. So
oh, great. Today. So it's called Strange Gods, Unmasking the Idols of Everyday Life. And we hope to talk about that on today's show. But before we do, if you don't mind, Elizabeth, let's catch up with some of our regular characters. Like, speaking of character, Angela Ciolana, you weren't on our show last week. Why is that? What were you doing that was more important than the show?
Well, I was invited to be a speaker at the Catholic Women's Luncheon in San Antonio, and it was a great turnout. We had about 112 women, and all ages, and it was just beautiful. I had many, many women come up to me and say that my talk helped them approach the Mass differently, and how they receive Eucharist, and how they just see themselves in God's eyes. And, you know, what better feedback can you get? So it was brilliant.
Well, great. I hope that we get a chance. Did they record your talk?
They did. I actually put it on my blog yesterday, so you can go check it out there.
Oops, I didn't see your blog.
Oh,
I haven't looked at it.
You know who's not reading Inspired Angela this week.
Yep. Here, wait. I think I have some sound effects for that, for my failure to read your blog.
Wah, wah, wah.
No showcase showdown for you.
Nope. So anyway, we did miss you, and but we're happy that your talk was a success, and I look forward to listening to it, Angela. And we'll have a link to your talk in the show notes, if that's okay with you.
That's perfect, and I'm glad to be back.
Great. Let's see, Billy, what is up with you? What have you been doing this week?
Recovering from the wedding last week, but in fact, it ended up that we had about 96 hours worth of after party. Because, you know, when Catholics get married, we just enjoy, you know, spending as much time together as possible. But in between after party 4 and 5, I went to the annual spring gala at the Dominican House of Studies. This is the third year that they've done it. It's to help raise money for the school. Regular listeners will remember Father Ben Kroll, who has been on the show before. He's their the vocations director for the Eastern Province. That's where he works. And
it was a dinner.
What's that?
He owes me a dinner. That's okay.
He owes you a dinner? All right. Well, he owes me a bunch of things, because the last time I went over there for they had me over for lunch on New Year's Eve, and I brought them 3 boxes of Krispy Kreme. So, you know, he owes me a little bit, but I think he ate out of the box for like a week after that.
Krispy Kreme donuts? Those things are only good right out of the oven.
They're fryers. They don't get out very much, you know. But anyway, so it was a great evening, and just, you know, lots of people from the Catholic community. A bunch of the Dominican friars came down from Manhattan, and probably the highlight, I think, was this year for the first time they made up a jazz combo of some of the student friars, and I was sitting out in the garden of the cloister at one point with my coffee, and they started playing and singing "The Girl from Ipanema," which I'm not sure how Dominican friars would know, like, what that's like. But the juxtaposition was absolutely hilarious. So I don't know, but it was a great, you know, it's a great evening, and it's a, you know, it's a great place. I love those guys.
Fantastic. So the 96 hours after the wedding was the latest episode of Catholics Gone Wild, right? So we'll look forward to seeing that on television.
Yeah, we'll need to have Tom Peters on the show again, just so he can talk about like how he survived his wedding. Because man, it was.
We'll do that. Anyway. Yeah, I look forward to that conversation. Yeah. And Maria, I guess your week wasn't very busy. Oh, wait a minute. Did you win the best teacher in the history of the world or the history of the universe?
The universe.
I told you. Where's the fanfare?
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, I got that. Some fanfare.
Okay.
Applause.
Gosh darn it. Staff, where are you?
Come on, Lynn.
I think that what you need to do is hit the crickets. I won. I got a very lovely honor from my technical college as the commissioner's award of excellence for teaching in technical education. And so we had a big to do. In North Atlanta, actually in your neighborhood, Jeff, at the
I wasn't
Cop
invited.
Galleria. I know, whatever. So there was a lot of chicken dinners involved and getting up and down. You know what? We went to the governor came because he signed some legislation for education while we were there, and he wanted photo ops. It's kind of like being in mass, you know? He comes in, you stand up, you sit down. Every time he stands, we stand. It was up and down the whole day. And so winner winner chicken dinner.
Well, that's
wonderful.
It's quite an honor.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It really is an honor. I'm trying to wait for some sound to come up here. Hopefully you'll be able to hear it.
Because Otis barking isn't enough today.
Yeah. Is Otis named for Otis Redding?
Yes.
Nice. I didn't realize.
He should have his own intro music.
Oh, boy.
Actually, I think I saw a video from that party that Bill was talking about, except that it was two friars and they were playing like "I'll No More Go Over Irish Roving Again" or something like that.
You know what? I think they did that. They did a bunch of stuff that it was very strange. I was
that
just
sounded,
like,
sounded like it was a little brew happy to me. But
well, they did. They brewed their own. They auctioned off a cask of their own ale that they made, and they were giving samples of it, and it was pretty darn good. You know, unfortunately, the bidding got too high, and I had to drop out.
You gotta love those friars.
Seriously, yeah.
So. Now, let's get to Elizabeth, and that's you're our special guest on this week's show. And as I mentioned at the beginning, you have a book that is has just been released, Strange Gods, Unmasking the Idols of Everyday Life. So tell us about your book. It's your opportunity now to sell several.
Tell you about the book.
It's like two or three copies, I'm sure, for people who are listening.
Yeah. You know what? I have been pondering the idea that Americans have been political and ideological idolaters for a while. I remember back when I've kind of swung wildly through the political spectrum. I've been the far left Democrat. I've been overcorrected to the very far right for a little while, and now I'm kind of finding my equilibrium in that I despise everybody. But
I'm with you there.
Yes. Amen, sister.
But the thing is, I kind of felt, particularly during the first act of the Bush presidency, and I liked President Bush, but the first act where he was bringing in the Patriot Act and all that stuff, I was watching debate go on in these conservative forums, and there were people who were like, well, it's fine because we have a godly man in office, and so we can trust him to not abuse this. And other people saying it doesn't matter whether he's godly or not, the next guy can abuse this. And those people were kind of dive-bombed out of the formation, so to speak. And I kind of at one point put the question up in the forum, is ideology, are we making idols of ideology? And of course everybody said, no, because we know God is all, but, you know, and to me it seemed like maybe we were. And then the whole Obama messianic stuff came in where there were people who were acting like he was the second coming of Christ. And on the other side of that were the people who loved Sarah Palin so much that they couldn't bear to hear a word of criticism about, or even constructive criticism. And it was like, I just felt like I was in the middle of this, you know, God's not going to be mocked. And we keep ascribing these almost, you know, beyond human virtues to these people. This can't be good. And then I started thinking, well, why are we doing this? And of course, you know, for the people who have, you know, who think of themselves as intellectuals, Obama kind of was a reflection of themselves, reflecting themselves back to them. And in fact, Obama, to his credit, said, I know I'm a giant screen people project things onto. And then the people who are more, you know, down home and you know, Walmart family shopping, like me, you know, were finding themselves reflected and their values reflected in Palin. And so it all just sort of struck me that we're all looking at these golden calves that reflect us back to ourselves. And there was an editor at Ave Maria Press who kept writing to me saying, write a book. And I kept saying, I don't know what to write about. And he's like, well, you keep going on and on about idols, so why don't you write about that? And I was like, okay. And then, you know, that's where that came from.
Well, very
I'm
good.
Super excited nice. About this book because I think it's something that really needs to be heard, this message. When I first read, I think it was in the middle of April, Pope Francis talked about our hidden idols, and that just really made me think, you know, because that's a commandment I think a lot of us just kind of skim over when we're doing our examination of conscience. Did I put anything before God? No, I prayed, you know, today. So,
well, yeah, and that whole idea of putting something before God, I was very amused when Francis brought that up, and somebody has sent me a videotape of something he said actually, I think 6 months or so ago when he was still a cardinal, also talking about idolatry, and I'm going to put that up on my site at one point. But I think that he I think it's the Holy Spirit just does all of this stuff, and if you stand in the way of the Holy Spirit, you kind of get carried along with it. So, you know, if the Pope is talking about idolatry, at the same time a book is coming out about idolatry, then maybe we should be looking at this. And the first commandment, I think we just say, well, have I made any golden calves? No, I haven't done that. We're too smart for that. We're beyond that. And we don't even think about that first commandment. But it is the commandment that, if we're following it, kind of renders every other commandment moot. Mm. But if we're not following it, then, you know, it follows. The rest follows.
And I noticed the fantastic cover for your book has just a whole bunch of icons of social media. And just that that word icon just kind of is interesting in this conversation. But what's your take on, you know, in social media, where just kind of the way that it is constructed or coded or however, is that we're seeing more and more people who think like us in our feeds, you know, in Twitter and Facebook. It's just kind of the way that it's sort of set up. So, like, how is that sort of contributing to this whole concept of strange gods?
I actually talk about that in the book. It's a really good question. I don't know if I can articulate it as well as I can write it because my tongue is not fluent. My fingers are. But yeah, the point of social media becoming a tool for idolatry is wrapped up in the fact that too often we create these really narrow, we go into an echo chamber kind of mentality, you know, it's like, or almost a bunker mentality, where we're only communicating with people who think the way we think, who share our values. It's kind of like what I was talking about earlier about that conservative political forum that I'd been part of, you know, where the woman objected to the Patriot Act and was kind of, you know, pushed out. I was like, no, we only want people who think like us in here. And that is the danger of the internet no matter what. It becomes narrower and narrower and smaller as the group becomes more exclusive and full of people who are the purest of the pure. Mm. And so this vast communications tool becomes something that's really, really small and ends up limiting us and narrowing our point of view till, you know, we're just reflecting ourselves back at each other and the people who are most like ourselves. So it's, you know, like the ultimate tool of idolatry. You know, and the curious thing about it is that kind of like the snake in Eden saying, you know, you will be like gods. Well, we get into these little echo chambers and we talk to the people who are like us and we know everything. We've got all the answers and we're all right. So we're kind of like gods, you know, we're still in Eden. All these millennia later, we're still in Eden.
Mm. Well, you know, the crazy thing about that is that you also get a distorted sense of how many people think that way. Mm-hmm. So you think that everyone really, because you're only hearing that same point of view, so you think, well, certainly everyone must feel this way.
Oh, absolutely. That's absolutely perfect point. You know, and I think that's extremely dangerous because you're hearing the same 80 people say the same thing over and over again, mm-hmm. and becoming very distorted in your world view and what you think the rest of the world thinks. And then when you step outside, it's such a culture shock that it then you get this sense that, oh my God, the world must be ending. Because look at how weird and perverse it is out there as opposed to all the sanity that I know about. So,
Elizabeth, how do you think that given what you're saying, which is, you know, I mean, I think all of us on here have experienced this in our own use of social media and blogging, et cetera, but how do you balance the sort of desire for tribalism? In other words, to find people who share my values, who like the same things that I do, who believe the same things that I do. And then the need for evangelization when so often we get attacked and rather viciously for standing up for the truth. And then you end up, I mean, it happened to me yesterday. I had to block like three people who were just sending me all kinds of profanity.
Well, I mean, profanity you never deal with. You never allow that. But I think the leaving your comment box is open, and I close mine automatically after 2 days now but it's not because I don't want to hear people's comments, it's because I am tired of all the arguing that goes on that's not even part of the original subject. So I figure you've got 2 days, say your piece, I'm closing the things. But the good thing about keeping comment boxes over is you're always going to have somebody coming in there saying, you're not only fat, you're stupid too. And it kind of keeps you humble and forces you to say, okay, I don't know everything. And then every once in a while, you'll get a thoughtful person in there who challenges you. And it's really important to let people challenge you because, A, it keeps you kind of on your toes as far as, you know, do I believe this and this is what I believe? And if you can defend it very quickly, then you kind of realize that, yeah, that's ingrained in you. But also you just have to, like, there are people that I follow on Twitter who are not people I agree with. And I follow them specifically because I don't agree with them and I want that engagement with other ideas. Evangelization is not going to happen if we're just talking to ourselves. You know?
That's so hard to do, though. I mean, I get so irritated when I see things from people that I definitely do not agree with. And it just I get so close sometimes just like, I'm going to delete them. I'm not going to be a friend. I'm not going to follow them anymore. And then I kind of just kind of hold back and thought, okay, you know, maybe I can learn something from the opposing point of view.
Yeah, there's a woman on Facebook who she and I have constantly gone at it. And we actually share a lot of values, but we just, I think, are too much alike in some respects. And so we're busy correcting each other all the time. And it's like, we're, you know, fisticuffs. And we've both said, I don't know why I'm still friending you.
Yeah.
But you don't see a value to it. It kind of keeps us honest and makes us think, well, am I being this awful biatch she says I am being?
Welcome to Catholic Weekend.
Oh.
And sometimes I am being that person. And then there are other times, like there's a guy from a liberal progressive magazine that I tried really hard to respectfully engage a few times, and I just realized, no, he's not dealing in good faith. And if somebody's not going to dialogue in good faith, then the heck with them. You know, I just think that a basic modicum of respect and good faith has to be part of the exchange, or you're wasting your time.
Well, that's absolutely essential. And when you can have these civil conversations, there can be some growth in it. It's when people don't engage, you know, in such a way. And that's what's so hard. Sometimes we need to, even ourselves, we need to model that in the comm boxes. We need to model it in all the social media that we use, is that you can agree to disagree and you can agree to engage in a conversation, a dialogue, even a debate without it having to be ugly
and
offensive.
Sometimes something really good can come out. You know, Max Lindemann, who writes at Pathos in the Catholic Channel, which is, you know, where I do the bulk of my work as managing editor. Max actually came into my channel in my comm box, and I discovered him. Okay, because he left snarky, funny, challenging comments in my comm boxes. And I thought, given his name, Max Lindemann, that he was like this 68-year-old guy with, you know, his pants pulled up to his chest, you know, and he was just some prank scene at the table, you know, but he was funny. So I engaged him and I said, you know, you write really well. Are you writing anywhere? And he said, no. So I said, well, why don't you come write with me? Because you're really good. And I was really surprised to find out that he was a 30-something-year-old guy who trapped by this old man's name. But he's great, and that's how Max came into it. And I like the fact that Max struggles with his Catholicism from time to time. I think that's honest living of the faith, because I think, you know, you got to struggle sometimes. Yeah. And so, you know, it's really amazing the things that can happen when you just kind of leave the comm boxes open and let dialogue go. The Holy Spirit, give the Holy Spirit room to work.
Yeah. So that's an excellent point.
Now, obviously, when you're in a blogging situation, there is a little more editorial control that you have. But with respect to things like social media, with Twitter and Facebook and Reddit, which is too scary to go on, if people are going after you on there, and you have tens of thousands of followers, I'm sure you're not responding to all of them, but like, what's the right way, you think, to approach that? Because a lot of those people, going back to what you were saying earlier, they have these sacred cows that if you post a link from, say, LifeSite or something like that, like talking about, for example, this abortion doctor in Philadelphia and some of the stuff that he did or allegedly did, you know, and people get horribly offended and say, no, but you're attacking this great, you know, principle that I have, because, you know, I worship at the shrine of Margaret Sanger. And there is no nice way to come back from that, is there? Because if they're going to be starting from a fundamentally, from a principle that is directly and fundamentally opposed to yours, and they already have the belief that you're part of this evil organization, I find it very difficult, and admittedly I'm half Latin, so I'm very hot-tempered, but I find it very difficult to do a measured response. And sometimes, you know, I do exactly what Jeff is, which is just like, you're blocked, goodbye. I don't want to have this conversation with somebody who's using these terms with me.
I don't really get that many people sending me hate tweets anymore. I don't know why. But actually, there's a few that I regularly talk to. One is a young guy who, if people come at you, even if they disagree and they're diametrically opposed to everything, but they're managing a respectful tone, I'll engage. You know, I had one guy during the what was that called when they were all camping in New York and being disgusting?
Occupy.
And yeah. The Occupy Wall Street thing. And I had this one guy who was an Occupy supporter, and he sent me a tweet kind of challenging something. And we engaged, and we engaged over a period of 8 days. And then 2 weeks later, he tweeted me and said, I want you to know I went to confession and I went to church this week. So, I mean,
that's excellent.
That was just, I mean, obviously not me. It was just the Holy Spirit working on him. But it changed him. And yet there's another young guy who I engage with pretty regularly. That's not going anywhere. But I engage because I don't know when it will go somewhere. And that's not in my hands. That's God's thing, you know? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I've had Catholics, good Catholics, like just last week or 2 weeks ago, I had somebody email me or tweet me that I was short on mercy, which annoyed the crap out of me.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, it's just like, you have no idea how much mercy I have. You can't tell it all in a 140-character tweet. So because it annoyed me so much, I was like, no. And bang, 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 bang.
I'm sure you showed no mercy in response.
You thought I was missing it before. Just wait, right?
Right, exactly. But he was like willing to engage, even though I was a little testy at that moment. And that actually ended up being a very productive. And now we're actually very friendly, and we're you know engaging quite a lot in good ways because. We understand each other a little bit better. I understand where he's coming from, and he understands where I'm coming from, and he doesn't think I'm this merciless creature anymore. He just understands how I perceive things in a better way, and I don't think he's the wimpy, hippy-dippy, hippie, you know, probably former weed-smoking, you know, bell-bottom and love bead-wearing, you know.
So he doesn't have a chance to defend himself. Look at you.
I'm not saying who he is.
Oh, well, you know, critical thinking skills are kind of lacking sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, the internet makes you stupid. That's the old saying, right?
Well, you know, the thing is as well is that, you know, all the saints are different. You know, I mean, we're all called to strive and God willing achieve it. But, you know, think about people like, I don't know, St. Paul, St. Vincent Ferrer, horrible tempers. I mean, absolutely horrible. You know, and then you have very gentle people on the opposite side. Just, you know, we're all just made differently, and some of us, you know, have different passions or different things kind of set us off or don't, and some people are better at controlling their responses, you know. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys know Grant Galicho from Commonweal.
Yes.
He's a really good guy, but he and I are, you know, we're just very different in our approach to things, and every once in a while I'll be like, you're not being nice, and he's like, I don't have to be nice, and he's right, he really doesn't. I mean, St. Jerome had his, you know, his crabs too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, was he crabby.
Exactly. So, I mean, really, it's not my business whether or not Grant is nice, and I have to back off on that. And he is a nice guy, actually. He happened to tweet when he was at the Catholic educators thing that goes on in Anaheim every year. Mm-hmm. And he happened to tweet this. I'll show it for anybody who watches.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sweet.
None with the Budweiser thing. And I was like, buy me that. And he did. I mean, I just demanded that he buy it for me, and he actually did. He's a good guy.
Well, crabby people can be nice, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not his job to be nice. It's his job to communicate. And sometimes, you know, when we say that, sometimes the truth is not easy to hear, nor is it, it's certainly sometimes not easy to tell, but it's not easy to hear, too.
Yeah.
And people can mistake that as a personal attack as opposed to just a, you know, a statement of fact.
Or just the way someone is inclined, just a you know, an attitude or a constitutional way that a person, you know, Some people just live with a smirk on their face at all times. The interesting thing about it was that after having thought about that for a while, I discovered, naturally, I took that to the extreme and decided that there is tyranny in telling people to be nice because it's essentially saying shut up. So then I wrote a big piece about that. I'm the biggest hypocrite in the world, you know?
That's awesome.
Aren't we all?
You're
all supposed to say no, you're not.
No, not at all. Oopsie. Hey, so Elizabeth, since your book has only just come out and Jeff didn't get us all advanced copies, which are anyway.
Actually, Marie, that was smooth. Go buy it. Yeah. She has to sell
Marie,
it.
You didn't get a copy?
No, sadly.
Marie was supposed to get one.
I think Jeff's hoarding them. He's going to sell them on eBay. But who are some of the idols that you have identified that you think that we're worshiping these days?
Let me look at my index here. The
she
god
really didn't
for
write
us,
it.
The idol of the idea, the idol of prosperity, the idol of technology that's going into the whole internet thing, the idols of being cool and sex, the idols of making plans, the super idols, and the super idols are where you get into. You know, it's like I talk about idolatry and the idea of putting something before God, and I describe it not so much. I want to make very clear that it's an instance of something being put before, like a physical placement of something being put before God. Mm. Like imagine, you know, God is on your mantle and you put your big screen TV in front of him. So now there's something between you and God and you can't possibly have any contact then or not direct contact. And so I explore that whole idea of that being the meaning of something before God. And then I forgot the rest of your question.
No, I was just asking, like, who were some of the, who were some of the balls or whatever that you had identified?
Oh, okay. That I kind of take it from there. I mean, how when I talk about the super idols, I'm talking about idols that are so big in our lives, and I'm talking about ideology or even the idolatry of the liturgy, things that make us think that we know so much that we actually kind of move beyond. It's like we move beyond that mantelpiece almost through like a looking glass, and now our back is to God. We've moved further beyond God. It's sort of like that LCWR speech that Sister Lori Brink gave when she was talking about moving beyond the church and beyond Christ. And I'm not calling her an idolater. I'm just saying that we actually can be such idolaters that we move beyond God. And it's not even that we have something before God. We've bypassed him completely, and now our backs are to him. Mm. The rest of the time we are facing him, we just have crud between us, you know?
Elizabeth, I was a...
And it sounds like... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that I was, for many years, like 8 or 9 years, I was a RCIA instructor at my parish. And... our Monsignor of a couple of years ago, he's moved on to a different parish now, but he was talking about the importance of making it to Mass every Sunday, and he said something that I'd never heard anybody mentioned before, and he said that the church, you know, is there to protect us and keep us from sinning, and that if you don't go to Mass on Sunday, your obligation, then you basically are committing idolatry because you're putting something before going to Mass to worship God. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, I did that with this book. And the last chapter of this book is called... It's called...
I know that. I have a whole box of your books here. I'm sorry.
It's called My Dreadful Idol. And I bring up the fact that I became so neurotic about writing this book. And my kids tease me about it all the time. It's because no matter what came up, my answer was no, I can't until the book is finished. And I put so much in front of this that I couldn't finish the book for a while. But when I reached the point that I wasn't saying my office, my divine office, or I reached the point where, okay, now I'm not saying my rosary, and finally there was the Sunday where I was so busy working on the book that I didn't mean to, but I missed Mass. And it was like, well, now that's complete.
So your book became your idol then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow,
and that's part of the thing about the book that I hope gives it some credibility is that I'm not standing there in some ivory tower saying you guys are a bunch of idolaters. I'm saying I'm, you know, a magnificent idolater. I do it constantly all day long, and so do you. And here's how, you know. So I mean, I'm right in there struggling with not creating idols every single day.
But it's recognizing.
I love how you said that.
That's great.
Yeah, it is. But I love how you said it, that it kind of progressed in a very insidious and very slow manner, where suddenly, you know, you did miss Mass, but it started with, and you know, the office is quite a commitment. And so's, you know, and so's a rosary. These are not things that you can do in 30 seconds or less. And it just made it easier for that next step. I hear the music. It happened to me at the award ceremony when I wanted to give my 10-minute speech, and they just...
I'm sorry, but it's time for our break.
The CW staff is slowly pushing Maria off the stage.
He's being nice, and that way he's telling Maria to shut up.
Yes, I am. And so I thought we'd just take a really quick break here to thank everyone who is a supporter of SQPN, especially those of you, my favorites, who always are in the chat room every week watching Catholic Weekend. Thank you. I love you. It's a kiss for you. And thanks for everybody who were new donors to our
The cat's looking at me.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you mute him? I want to know why you don't mute him.
I'm going to mute all of you is what I'm going to do. Okay. Okay. And here's Maria playing the sax right now. Very nice, Maria. It's been a while since we've heard you. Okay. Anyway, thank you again, everybody who are recent new donors to the StarQuest Production Network from our recent fund drive, which is now over. And for those of you who continue to donate your hard-earned money to the StarQuest Production Network, we do appreciate it. Now, if you want to support us in other ways besides praying for us and also giving a monthly donation, or even a single donation of $1 million or more, you're more than welcome to make your purchases on Amazon.com. Come on, I just made a purchase yesterday, and I always click through. I have it set up so that I always use the StarQuest Production Network's affiliate code. And so when I buy something on Amazon, whether it be something very small or a very large item, SQPN gets some of the proceeds from that. So why don't you do that as well? Go to our website, sqpn.com, click on the banner, and you'll see the amazon.com banner there. And then do your shopping, and then we get a little percentage of the sale. It really helps the StarQuest Production Network. Also, if you're in the market for starting your own blog, you want to have another outstanding blog like Inspired Angela or Another Cup of Coffee or the things that you, this guy over here does, W.B. Newton and the courtier, Catholic courtier.
Definitely not the blog of the quarterback.
The blog of the quarterback. And something like that. I don't know. I don't get it. Just kidding. And of course, Elizabeth Scalia's wonderful job or blog on Pathos. If you want to do something like that, head over to Bluehost.com. There's a banner there on our website, and we get a very generous donation from them if you sign up with them for their web hosting services. So my voice is about to go again, so I guess that means it's time for me to bring us back to the show. And Elizabeth, this is my opportunity. I can do a break, and then I can keep on talking, and I have an opportunity to ask a question. Not necessarily ask a question, but make a statement. Soon after the election of Pope Francis, you had enough of all the stuff that was going on, especially in that first week, about him doing this and washing the feet of women and that and this and that. And your post, and I don't remember the title of it, was one of the best things I've read all year. And in fact, it was my pick of the week, where you basically, scolded everybody for jumping to all these conclusions and trying to fit Francis in that box of a liberal Catholic or a conservative Catholic or traditional or non-traditional, so we didn't really get a chance to talk to you about that and how you felt about the election of Bergoglio as our new Pope Francis. So now is your chance.
I am so glad that initial craziness has tapered off a little bit, and people are being a little bit mellower. I don't know if anybody really was following it, but there was a point where even Father Z, who's a pretty conservative traditionalist, you know, he kind of defines it. He was saying to his readers, stop, because the people called the rad trads were just like, oh no, I don't know if I can follow this Pope. What is he doing? He's washing the feet of women and he's not wearing lace. And it's all of a piece, and where's the continuity? And on the other side of it, of course, the more progressive Catholics were being just insufferable. it was just, yeah, look, he's wearing black shoes. I actually came very close to just pounding on Cardinal Mahoney on Twitter because he was just carrying on about the black shoes, and now we're going to have simplicity, and it's, you know, we're going to be a poor church. And I'm like, how many millions of dollars did you spend on your ugly cathedral? I don't want to hear from you either.
Mother Angelica has been vindicated on that one.
What I think is really, you know, basically, I think what people are starting to discover is that this difference in style is a difference in style, and the men are still saying, whether it's Benedict or Francis, they are still saying the same thing. The message is the same. The method of delivery is different, and you know, I believe the Holy Spirit gives us the man we need for the times, and I really think that we need a demonstrative, plain-speaking man right now. Benedict, God bless him, I adore him, but he was professorial. He had that cute little German way of speaking very fast. You could barely understand him. You had to read the text to get it. Most people couldn't be bothered reading the text, so they just were like, I can't connect with this guy at all. And Benedict, to his credit, to his everlasting credit, understood that another speech wasn't going to do it, another trip wasn't going to do it, nobody was paying attention, so boom, he did something very radical. This guy who the world said wasn't going to be radical enough did this incredibly radical thing and stepped aside and gave the Holy Spirit room to move, and the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to give you a plain speaker so you can't say you didn't get the message. And, you know, we've had the beautiful vestments and stuff of Christ and his glory, but now we are in a very different time. People are really struggling. I'm going to give you Christ and his humanity. He's a little bit, he doesn't have the lace. His vestments are a little bit simpler. His language is simpler, and you're going to get him, you know? Mm. And so I think the whole thing is wonderful, and I think it's really interesting that the same people who, there's like the tears and cheers, you know, you've had at one point there were, when he was wiping, doing the kissing the Muslim and women feet on Holy Thursday, the so-called Catholic left was cheering. And then he said, then last week it became clear that he's going to uphold the correction, the doctrinal correction of the LCWR. And then suddenly the right was cheering. So, I mean, Catholicism to me is balance. Real Catholicism as it's lived can't be left or right. It has to find, Every situation, every circumstance, every subject has its own reasoning that leads you to the truth. And that is left or right. Sometimes it's a combination of both. And I really think that that's personified in Francis in a really new and exciting way. Just stop me, because I'll just keep talking.
We love it. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Keep going. It's like those Catholic memes that came out right away. You know, like the big surprise, Francis is Catholic.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've been
talking news.
We've been talking to a lot of our guests since the election of Pope Francis. What their initial impression was, you know, that moment. Well, were you watching at home in your office, or where were you?
I actually was in Rome at that moment.
Okay.
She was violently ill at that moment.
You are really.
I got into
poor Elizabeth.
I developed, and I kind of knew the night before something bad was happening, and I said to my husband, maybe I shouldn't go. And he's like, oh, you're just nervous about traveling, go. And somewhere over the Atlantic, I got into this terrible gastrointestinal distress. The poor people on my plane, I'm sure I infected all of them. One of those really, really bad viruses that you get. And so by the time I got to, I was staying at a convent very close to the St. Peter's. By the time I got there, the nuns were just looking at me saying, Virus, Virus, she has a virus.
Unclean, unclean.
And I actually, there was a momentary reprieve of all of this, you know, vomiting and just undescribable misery. And I heard the nun scream. And so I was like, oh, there must be white smoke. And I looked out the window. I could see the Vatican from my window.
Wow.
And I could see people running up the street now. You know, it's like it reminded me of that Prince Spaghetti commercial, you know. Spaghetti night. The kids were running for the spaghetti, except they were running for the Pope.
So they were running away from virulent Elizabeth.
Vetus. And so they had a common area, and I was able to watch, and even actually, like I said, I had this little reprieve, so I was able to be on Twitter and watch what was going on. Unfortunately, I couldn't be in St. Peter's Square at that moment. And my first impression when he came out, because I wasn't, being in Rome, I had no translators, so I had to kind of... depend on my own so-so Italian to understand what was going on. And when they first said Bergoglio, I was like, okay, he was actually on John Allen's 20-man list, but he was like the long shot. And I remember reading about him and thinking, well, maybe he'd be really good, but he's a Jesuit. He's never going to be elected. and then when he came out and he was Francis, I mean, Francis told you everything right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this was going to be someone who was serious about reform and everything. So I was really excited and happy. And then to see the response of the people who really, he was an unknown entity, and yet they were willing to, you know, be right there with him. And then, of course, his asking for prayers before he gave his blessing. You know, that was a great moment. It was a great moment. And the nuns who were coming, you know, glued to the TV were just like, ah, bene, bene. You know, they liked that a lot. They liked his transparent humility.
Well, thank you for that. And I guess I've been, it's been revealed that I don't read anybody's blog. So
it's like Mac Barron, part two.
Well, you know,
that's right. He does.
I think there are some of us who are readers, and there are some of us who are listeners. And apparently I'm a listener. I listen to a lot of podcasts and that kind of thing. And I don't do a lot of reading. And then, of course, most of the week when I am reading things, I'm trying to gather information for my own aviation show. And so I'm really involved in that. So I apologize for messing up with my lovely guests like Elizabeth and Angela. And
we're just giving you a hard time.
And Maria, do you have a blog? Do you have a blog?
Sometimes I do. Okay. I have something.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, I don't listen to podcasts. And it becomes evident when I don't listen to our show.
Oh, I don't listen to the show. Oh, my God.
No.
Are you kidding me?
Why would you listen to
my own
yourself?
Voice?
Yeah, no. I mean, A, there's nothing to apologize for, Jeff. And B, I'm the same way. I mean, I am a reader. And I can't read and have something on in the background, as we said earlier. So I podcast, it's a rare thing for me to listen to. And that's a shame, because there's so many really good ones out there. I love Pat Goan. I could just listen to her voice.
Mm-hmm.
She could read the alphabet for me, and I would go to sleep to that thing.
Hey, that's a great segue, by the way.
I know. I'm trying to get over here to play.
You're trying to get over
this.
There.
Are you trying to talk about Pat? Let's talk about Pat.
We're going to talk about Pat a minute. Listen to her voice.
The mix. Wow. It's too bad I didn't have that.
Sleep.
Too bad I didn't have that ready to go as soon as you started talking about our lovely friend.
Pat Goan's on the show next week.
Yeah,
yeah,
she's
she is.
Be
Can we do something real quick? Because I have to SQPN reviewed oh my gosh, if I forget the name of her. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Oh, I'm telling her. I am so telling her.
So I have to draw the winner. From
that's
from
right.
the comments. Okay, so I've got I've got my Atlanta Cap.
Wait a minute, so I didn't know this.
All right.
Let me get my
the Braves, and I've got the people who left comments in the in the blog post. And so now, the winner is holy cow! It's Yvonne Marchese.
Wow!
All right,
remember she was a guest on our show. Last
That's
month.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So she won, I think, an autographed copy of her book, because I'm going to be able to corral Pat tomorrow and get her to sign it. So there's
That's awesome.
That.
Oh, Maria, another name, and I'll send a book out of my own.
Oh fantastic.
Wow.
Fantastic.
I'll send an inscribed copy out to somebody myself.
Fantastic. All right.
Thank you so much.
And the name that I pulled out is, oh, Maria Johnson. Joe Apolella.
Thank
you, Elizabeth.
Send me his, you know, mailing address and all that stuff, and I'll send a copy out to him.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, and then on my blog, I do the same thing, and this is a Boston cat. Can you stand to see it?
Yes.
That's great.
I'm going to cover my eyes.
All right, Johnny, so here we go.
This is the winner from another cup of coffee.
This is the winner from another cup of coffee.
Okay,
all right. Da-da-da-da. Anna Barroso. All right, so we have
Johnny, how much more coffee?
And a bonus winner. Thank you, Elizabeth. Okay.
I feel like we're on Oprah. You get a
car. I know. You get a car. Oh, dude, let me tell you this, because I should have told you this earlier. So at this awards thing, right, for the Teacher of the Year, they also did the Student of the Year. And the Student of the Year won a car.
Wow.
A Chevrolet, Chevy.
The Teacher of the Universe did not get a car?
The Teacher of the Universe got a pen.
We make idols of our youth.
Oh, we do. Okay.
That is unjust.
Isn't that awful? Well, it turns out that because I work for the Technical College System and not the Board of Regents, I'm part of the executive branch of the government, and so ethics don't allow me to receive gifts. So I got a pen that was a value of $9.95. Okay. Which I have to fill out on this ethics piece of reporting thing that I have to do now that I got this.
Are you serious?
Yes, truly.
Oh my God!
There's our bureaucracy.
Wow.
I can't. We had that at my old firm. We had that where my clients were not allowed to give me gifts beyond a certain thing, and I'd have all these clients from Latin America who they'd come back and say, thank you for settling my case or whatever, and they'd bring me like macrame pictures of people riding llamas and stuff, and I was like, how do I declare like what the worth of this is? I mean, I have to put it in my office in case they come by, but
priceless.
I don't know what this is worth, like I don't know.
25 cents a buck. Amazing. Well, look, I'm sorry. I hogged all of that. Let me give my pick of the week.
No, before you do that, let's do a quick Steve Nelson update.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
This I saw, and you probably did as well in the show notes. Lynn Francisco said that Steve Nelson is in Sydney. Did you guys know that?
No.
Yes. I just saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, he's in Sydney, Australia. Our 15th station friend and SQPN affiliate, Gavin Abraham, spent some time with him earlier today and reports, great afternoon catching up with the one, the only Steve Nelson while he's on a bit of R&R from his Papua New Guinea gig. More SQPN wisdom absorbed. So that's kind of cool. And I think he's going to also be in Melbourne in September for the CNMC. So that is our Steve Nelson update. A very quick one this morning. So if you want to learn more about Steve Nelson and what his gig in Papua New Guinea, you can go over to everythingesteban.com.
And he still hasn't worn a grass skirt, Steve. Steve, I'm holding you to that.
And he should have told us he was going to be in Sydney because then he could have been on the show. Because they have bandwidth there.
Yeah,
he's
going to.
Okay, look. All right, so big surprise. He's coming to the United States. He's going to be on the show next week, right?
And a coconut bra?
He better be in a coconut bra. That would be, if we can get Steve Nelson in a coconut bra. I don't even know.
Okay, well, folks, I had no idea that he was going to be in the States next week. So that's news to me.
He's going to be on the show, right?
Well, apparently so. I don't know.
Surprise.
Yeah. Maria was booking all the guests.
Okay, great.
I'm booking the guests now.
Steve Nelson and Pat Gohn, a doubleheader for next week's show.
We'll put him in a coconut bra. He can be on the show. Okay.
Both he and Pat Gohn in coconut bras. You'll have to...
Okay, Elizabeth, this is what the show is normally like.
Okay, so let's go.
We've been very well behaved since you were on today.
All right.
Why?
Oh, we're getting the Pat Goh.
Oh, we're getting back Pat Goh.
Bring us back.
Making us
trying to focus.
So can I have that? Can if I ever come back on? Can I have the Santa Esmeralda?
Yes.
Oh, that's your theme music.
Yeah, I got your name on it.
Yeah, that's your theme music.
But the next time, if I come on again, I will bring my son's sword.
All right.
we're blade lovers in this family.
That's awesome. I love that you love Kilda. That is just so. Next time you're in D.C., we're going to go out to dinner with Father Ben and have, because he loves it too, and we're going to have like this long like discussion of like, how can you all be devout Catholics?
That sounds like the question for the ages.
It's all about good and evil, isn't it?
All about it. That's
so,
right.
So, Señora Maria, what is your pick of the week, querida?
My pick of the week, mi amor, is Father Kyle Schnipple. Let me get his give him a shout out.
The Schnipple.
I was having.
We need him on
Schnipple.
The show again.
Yeah, Called by Name is the name of his blog at fathershnipple.blogspot.com. And I'm just giving him a shout out because I didn't know he listens to us, like for real.
What?
Yeah.
Really? Somebody that's been on the show and actually listens to us?
He's been on the show. I just didn't know that he was like a regular
listener.
That's
pretty sad, actually.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Well, that's all Sarah Fabulous.
I was having a little bit of, you know what, with Sarah the other night.
A porch party?
It was actually a legit porch
party.
Because Madame Cohn was present. So
there you go. Okay,
so is that your pick of the week?
Father That's my Schnipple? Pick of the week. Hey, right. Father Schnipple.
Hey, Father. Everybody wave at Father Schnipple.
Father Kyle.
All right. Angela, would you like to go next?
Sure. My pick of the week is actually a scripture. And it kind of a little bit goes back to Elizabeth's book a little bit. There was a story that we were possibly going to talk about today that was about the archbishop who was sort of attacked by feminist protesters. There's been some really, really disappointing, nasty comments coming from Catholics directed towards those protesters that I've really been disappointed about. And this is just my pick of the week is just a reminder to read Matthew 5, especially about praying for those who persecute you and, loving your enemies. Because I think we really do make an idol out of hating those who, go against anything that you believe, especially today in social media. So. Yes, Matthew 5 is my pick of the week.
The people that were writing all those nasty comments, Angela, I think should have used that bishop's example. And what did he do? He didn't attack them. He just sat there and prayed quietly while he was being, having water thrown on him and being yelled at and everything else. I mean, he was a perfect example of the way we should react to this kind of thing. Yeah. So thank you, Angela. Good reminder for us all. Let's see. Billy.
Sir,
what's your pick of the week?
Oh, my pick of the week is just to remind everyone that Wednesday of this coming week is May 1st, and May is Mary's month. So you have a couple of days to figure out. It's a good time to we're still in the Easter season. Pentecost is coming up, but it's a good time to try and think of something that you can do for Our Lady. For those of us who, spent most of our lives in Catholic school, we had May crownings and things like that, but it's a great month to pray the rosary. It's a great month to go on a pilgrimage if there's a Marian shrine near where you are. It's a special month that's dedicated to her, and I want to encourage everybody to kind of think about that now that we're finally getting nice weather, everything's blooming, and it kind of, makes you realize that, it was a very good month that the Church decided to give her. So that's, Mary's month is my pick of the week.
Excellent pick. Elizabeth.
Can I have two?
Yes, you may.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. My first one is this this St. Benedict's giant saint.
Wow.
Man,
that's beautiful. Oh, look at how gorgeous that is.
It's gorgeous, and it's in front of me all the time because I love St. Benedict. And so my first pick is to recommend everyone to, if they've never tried it, read The Rule of St. Benedict. You can even read it for free online. And my second pick is the Dominican Nuns of Summit, New Jersey. They are a cloistered order of sisters, kind of living at old school. I like them because they're really very balanced. They have some Latin, they have some English, they have a Novus Ordo, but they still have all the monastic traditions and the fasting and the disciplines and what have you. And they are a great bunch of women who next month will be celebrating a solemn profession of a young nun. And then in November they will have a solemn profession, and they've just had several first professions. They've got a full novitiate full of young women. And really exciting monastic presence online that is doing great things prayer-wise with their perpetual adoration, and it's great to see them growing in leaps and bounds.
Excellent. Oh, that's a wonderful,
awesome.
That's a wonderful pick. That's very good. I'm very heartened to see the increase in vocations, the interest in so many young people who are saying yes again in great numbers.
Yeah, we need
that
more.
That would be a really great show to talk about, actually, because there's a lot of exciting thought out there about that.
Yeah,
and we have somebody.
Father Schnipple is actually the director of vocations.
And we should have Channing Dale.
Let's
on
have him bring. Yeah, that's true.
Because she's Channing before she goes into the Carmel. That would be great.
That's right.
Yeah,
that
we'll have to definitely do that if you're listening to her. Channing Dale.
Channing Dale.
She's
on Twitter. She's just one of our, since we are such a small community of 10 people that only tweet to each other.
she has the This Catholic Life podcast. Yeah. And she's joining the Carmel in Lancaster, PA, in what, 6 weeks?
Very soon.
Yeah.
So we'll do that.
Yeah, definitely. We'll definitely have to have her on before she
great,
goes.
Great show.
Then
topic.
She can't talk to us anymore.
Hey, my pick of the week is thanks to our good friend John Clem. He suggested several things that we could talk about on today's show. Unfortunately, there were so many other things to talk about, John, that we didn't get to a lot of your stories, but we do appreciate that effort. But one of the things that he put on there was a great suggestion for me for my pick of the week. I happened to download it during the show, and I love this thing. It's called Wake Up to the Creed. It's an app by Little Eye Apps, and it's pretty cool. You can set a day and time for this thing to come on, and here I'll give you a little sound. Oops. I guess it's not going to be on anymore. Here we go. No, it's not working. Oh, I know
this
why.
Just came out, didn't it?
Yes, like, here we go.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ.
So you get an idea of their beautiful photography. And beautiful sound from what I've been able to listen to. There's a female voice, a male voice with or without music. Kind of a cool way to kind of bring in a different type of devotion into your day, a reminder.
So I heard a nun once refer to the creed as the antiseptic that we should say every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, that's great.
That is a good analogy.
So that's my pick of the week. It's called Wake
pick.
Up to the Creed.
Very
only
good.
99 cents on at the Apple App Store. All right. Well, Elizabeth, how can we find out more, read more about what you write? And first of all, your book. Where can we find your book? Where do we buy that?
Find my book at BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com. I think it's in the bookstores next week or this week. Coming out on Kindle on May 8th.
Great.
I hope people will buy it and read it because it would be really nice if people did. But also, I think that the Holy Spirit wants us to think about this right now, and I'm kind of humbled to, kind of help get people thinking about that in that direction. So the book is Strange Gods, Unmasking the Idols in Everyday Life. It has a really great cover.
Yes.
With
all
that icon and stuff. They
were fantastic cover.
Maria Press did a great job on the cover. And you can read me at The Anchoress, which is part of the Pathios.com Catholic channel. And you can also check me out at First Things magazine, the online. It's just firstthings.com. Or in the Catholic Answer magazine. Or, you know, I'm all over Twitter and Facebook, and I never shut up, so you can go.
And we love you for that.
Go engage.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth. I love reading your
Thanks
stuff
for having
and
me. This
always listen.
Fun. I was actually kind of terrified, but
well, if you weren't too terrified, if you weren't too terrified, you can come back on another time. I'll keep your little sound clip.
When Steve comes on with the coconut bra.
Okay. It'll be a special edition.
You remember Steve, right? You know that Elizabeth gave our keynote, one of our keynotes last year at the CNMC. And so we already love her anyway.
Yes. Angela, inspiredangela.wordpress.com. Thank you. I can never remember if it's WordPress or Blogspot. I always say the wrong thing, so I thought I'd let you fill in the blank.
It's WordPress.
Yes. That's why I don't read it, because I can't figure out where it is.
Well, no, you don't have any more excuses.
I know, I don't.
Yeah, come check out Inspired Angela. You know, I have this series going on right now every Monday about Marshall McLuhan. And what he said about Catholic things and how he is relevant to the church today. That's going to be ending on June 22nd, which is the day after his birthday. So after that, I'll be kind of refocusing towards highlighting great people in Catholic media who are doing great stuff. So come check that out. And then also, if you're watching this live, I'll be hanging out with Gavin Abraham and all of the people from Over Down Under tonight on LostSheep.tv. So you can check that out. Or if you're listening to the recording, just go to LostSheep.tv and check out our conversation.
All part of the Southern Cross New Media Project, I believe they call it, at LostSheep TV, right?
Yep.
Excellent. Okay, I'll look forward to seeing that. What time is that tonight?
That'll be 9 Eastern, 8 Central.
Okay, great. Well, thanks, Angela. Maria, another cup of coffee?
Another cup of coffee where I have not vlogged all week because I've been, you know, being a princess. But I need to finish the A to Z challenge if they haven't taken me off of the master list because I didn't put TUVW up.
Oh, no.
But, whatever. I have so much to do. Follow me on Twitter at Bago. That seems to be where I've been moving around these days.
Okay, we'll do that. Thank you, Maria, as always. Billy, WBDNewton.com.
Sure. Yep, that's the aggregate site where you can get to my other blogs and links to stuff that I've written for other people or archives of the show or when I was on the BBC or whatever. And you can follow me on Twitter at WBDNewton.com. For those of you who've been following, I do a new Superman AVI the first of every month, so I think we've got it down. I had to take a bunch of pictures last night, but that'll be debuting on Wednesday for those of you who like to laugh at my expense.
Will you be going for the no underwear look on the Superman costume thing?
Absolutely. It doesn't the costume look like
it looks weird.
It looks dirty, right? Like it looks muddy. Like they left it outside and it like grew mold on it or something. I mean, I just bought a repro of the traditional one, like the proper, you know, Christopher Reeve one. And I'm not as good looking as he is, but the colors are really good. You know, they really photograph well. And, you know, I've ever since I started doing this on Twitter like a year and a half ago, it's just been great. It's great to just kind of take the—I can't say the word I want to say—just to kind of make fun of yourself, basically, and show, like, you know, yeah, I write about a lot of serious stuff, but I have no delusions of grandeur. I make a complete just clown of myself, and I enjoy it. So,
what is your cat's name?
Lily.
After Lily Sobieski?
No, after the contractor when he was working on the house said, "Hey, I got a cat, and she's named." She had 8 kittens, and the last one is named Lily. Do you want her? So it's like, okay.
Exactly.
You already named my cat.
Well, I say she's a third order Dominican. Because she's black and white.
So, that's cute.
When I've gone away before, I've had a couple of the Dominican friars have like come by and take care of her. So yeah, I'm a Dominican groupie. You can kind of figure that out.
Oh, excellent. And
where can we find you, Jeffy Jeffy?
I have this little aviation thing on the side that I do, fly airplanes, and I do a little podcast that is getting more and more popular. And I've been, I was on another show recently as a guest.
Woohoo!
So my show is called The Airline Pilot Guy. You can find that at airlinepilotguy.com. And that's pretty much it. And hopefully my voice will get back to normal soon. And so.
We have some honey. That. I've got some monastery honey if you want some.
Okay. Well, bring it on over.
Bring it on over.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us today on today's show. Thanks everybody in the chat room, Mayor Mike and all the characters that are always there in the chat room. Thanks so much for always joining us. And Lynn, thank you for doing the show notes. It's a service that we really, really do appreciate. And our special guest, Elizabeth, our normal gang of Catholic Weekenders, Angela, Maria, Billy.
He said normal.
Well, I don't mean normal. Our usual.
There,
that's the right name, our right word, usual, not normal. And so anyway, I hope you enjoyed this week's show. We certainly enjoyed doing it and hope to see you back here next week on another episode of Catholic Weekend. Take care and God bless.
Bye.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.